I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
75, the KSL Sports Zone.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for, the sports you love.
We're not going anywhere. We like it.
With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
True or false?
Huh?
Largest margin of victory was 1978. BYU 65, Utah State 6.
I'm going to say that it's... Ooh, now I'm confused here. I'm going to say it's false. That was 1977.
It's true.
Oh, shoot.
1977, largest margin of victory.
What? So I was right.
No, it's true.
78. You said 78.
1977.
I used it 78.
Just look at my...
Jeremy, go back.
Look at my notebook.
You
look
can
at
end the break. All Jeremy's right, going to go back. Get that out of here. I get accused of not listening a lot on this show. Okay?
I couldn't read my notes, okay?
you asked me to do it.
I couldn't read my notes.
All right. Well, I love it. It's a fake game don't keep scores on.
I just get concerned. I can't. I don't know.
Let's head back to the NFL offices and get your head tested again.
Do something.
When you do that testing,
right there really throws me in a tailspin because it said 77 and I read 78 and it's like, why did I do that?
I think that what happened was like last minute you were like, I'm going to throw this one digit off and I'm going to get him. Look,
I guess
Scott looks concerned. Scott looks very concerned. I'm telling you, let's head back to the NFL offices. And when you go back and get your baseline tests again, I want to go and see what that experience is like. I'll interview you. I'm going to see what that – because you went and did the testing with the NFL, right, already? Didn't you already do it?
Yeah. 2 days.
And it was intensive. Yeah, like you had said.
It was.
And I'm
But it said I was normal, and that
But that throws you off now? Stop it,
no, Jeremy's now laughing.
That's rude, bro. We're having a real conversation about Scott's health here. You throw a laugh track in on it. How dare you?
I like Eminem. He won't stop.
The show is always brought to you by the folks at G2G Bars. All natural ingredients, no preservatives, plenty of protein. G2G Bars, perfect for anybody who needs that quick, tasty, nutritious boost. And joining us on the program, and now that we're getting right on top of it here, we're into training camp, preseason game on Sunday. You're going to be able to hear right here on the airwaves. We're excited about it. The voice of the Utah Jazz, David Locke, joining us on the show, brought to you by the folks at the Murdoch Auto Group. Locke, what's going on, man?
Not much, guys. How are you?
Oh, fantastic. It's now that we're closer to, like, we put our schedule together every week, and I had somebody remind us, hey, don't forget Sunday's the first preseason game. I went, holy cow, because we just got done with bees, and now we're back into basketball, and I'm really excited. I kind of bought into the idea of this Team 49 and kind of what Will Hardy's jumping into here. What have you been impressed by with being able to talk to these guys for the first time this week during the media days and during the first part of training camp here?
So I agree with your friend, by the way. Sunday being the first preseason game is like, holy cow. So I'm right there with him. Because there's a lot of prep that needs to still be done.
Right.
So I was, first thing I was impressed with just overall was just the quality of all of the individuals. I don't know that that is per se unique to the Jazz. You know, there's always the stereotype of an athlete, and I think there's nothing that's more inaccurate than that in this world, in the sense that if you were the dumb jock at this point in sports, you'd lose your route somewhere along the way. The discipline, the dedication, the commitment that it takes is also, I think, you have to have a level of intelligence to be able to be that committed and that dedicated to a craft and to understand how to work. And I think that was evident in the guys we interacted with. They were all thoughtful. They were all polite, actually stunningly polite. They were all introspective. They were willing to share. It was really, really interesting. I mean, everything from Obagi walking. We were in a room. The way it was set up is the broadcast team was in a room. Holly was doing about 4 or 5 minutes, and then I'd step in and do 4 or 5 minutes, and then they'd meet with all of us collectively. So we were all in this room. Like, Obagi walked in and just literally went from person to person and shook hands with each of them beforehand, introducing himself.
That's awesome.
Malik Beasley went and did the same thing. And so that was jet. And then they would just kind of sit comfortably and talk. And Walker Kessler got into it with Thurl on a really deep kind of level on how you block shots. And Stanley Johnson got into just the evolution of a career and how he's trying to find, you know, someone. Finally, he got the suggestion from someone that, you know, find the thing you excel at and be outstanding at it. I just thought all of them, I don't want to leave anyone out, but I also don't want to go list, you know, 19 guys right now. Sexton, I thought, was kind of had that little charm to him with that smile that made you want to be a part of whatever he was doing. You kind of wanted to be around him. He had a real warmth to him. So I was super impressed with all of them. I will share it with you. I think it's really interesting. And I want to ask Scott this. Scott, did you have brothers and sisters?
I had 3 older sisters.
Yep. So that's it. This is so interesting. So I'm a huge believer in birth order. That is like one of the things I really, really, really believe in life.
Yeah, you should have lived with my sisters.
Right. Well, you're the youngest. And so you were trying to fight up to compete and to match them at all times. Only one guy on our entire roster, I believe, is the oldest kid in the family. I think it's Mike Conley.
Wow, interesting.
Every other one is the youngest or in, you know, has one or two older brothers in the group that they, you know, Colin Sexton's older brother, Jordan. Oh my gosh, he's the most amazing player I've ever seen. Right, yeah, and you tried to compete with him your whole life, and then you made the NBA. Like, it's such an interesting thing, and this has been the case. I've kept this for almost every year with the Jazz. Frankly, if I was a GM, I would want this information to draft. Like, I think it's very telling. Those players that improve are the younger ones that have been used to fighting, used to competing, used to trying to catch up in their careers. I think it's a really interesting mix.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
That is fascinating because as you're saying this, and I'm thinking about growing up, aside from, you know, fighting my sisters to like not put me in a dress, you know, that was one of the big things. But they all played sports. Like, all my sisters played sports, and I didn't play sports against them, but I was forced to go watch them, and it would drive me crazy. Right. But I was also a lone voice, you know, like they were all sisters, and they had, you know, and I was just a snot-nosed little brother that had no say, no voice, no anything. And so I was actually driven in it between watching them play and play so poorly in sports, and it would just frustrate the heck out of me, to like also creating having a voice and say, hey, look at me, and you know, I got something to offer. Yeah. Here. And that was a real thing. When you say this, it was a real thing.
Well,
for
without,
me growing up.
Without us even planning this, and we didn't even dive into it very far, but last week when we were talking about Cody Zeller, His dad wrote a whole book. It's called Raising Sons the Zeller Way. And we were like, oh boy, some guy has a bunch of successful kids. And he goes, look how I did it. But Cody Zeller is the youngest of those three boys. All three of them were Mr. Indiana, Mr. Basketball. All three of them. He's the youngest, and all three of them won it.
Okay. And which one was the one with the shortest NBA career?
Probably the oldest, yeah.
Yep. The oldest is a rule follower. The oldest is a pleaser and a rule follower. The younger you get, the more competitive. And even to Scott's point, like I've read so much about this, even like the van covers, the van being the car, right? But sitting in the car when there were five or six of you, mom, dad, the three sisters and yourself, you were competing to get a word in then. Well, it's not just sports. It's everything, yeah, right? Yeah. You were just competing
absolutely.
To be heard.
Yeah, no question. Like, they just ignored me. They're like, he doesn't know anything. He's our little brother. And so I had no one to, as far as my sisters, like, I went out in our yard and I would throw baseballs against a shed we had to just, you know, and I was always out just kind of honing my craft, not knowing that that's what I was actually doing. Because I was alone, like that was my way of expressing myself. That was something that I enjoyed and I excelled at, and it was a way to speak without actually speaking.
Interesting,
yeah, very interesting.
So there's an interesting. This is like from a business standpoint. There's an interesting thing going on right now. And I apologize. My right side of my mouth is completely numb right now. So if I sound like I have a lisp today, that's why.
No, it just makes it more interesting.
I just left the dentist office. But there's in a business standpoint right now with all this remote work, like remote work is not, you know, you guys are used to doing this on a show and all this, but remote work is this new idea and how you stay motivated in remote work. And there's this phrase called the manager of one. And that has actually made, this is a little self-serving, but this has actually made the only child is suddenly, who's always been thought of as, you know, the pampered only child, da, da, da. Can't play with others. That is actually now in a lot of business aspects becoming the most appealing person to hire, because they're very used to being a manager of one, being self dedicated, playing on their own, doing things on their own. Where now you're working remotely, you've got to find those employees that are able to handle that.
Interesting. You know, we listened to all these guys and their media day stuff. We listened to Will Hardy. I think that, you know, nothing really gets kind of figured out with any of these guys till we see them on the court. So what will we see on the court? Who are we going to see? And who are you looking at? And you go, because there's one thing to have a starting five. It's another to have guys you're going to see maybe a lot of in the preseason. So what's the preseason look like normally in the NBA versus or with this team, with this iteration of the Jazz team, you know, going into this thing? Is it you're going to see a lot more guys that, and maybe in a combination you're not normally going to see? What are they going to do right at the top here? Because I feel like they might have a starting five in mind, but sometimes it's about finding good combinations.
So I have no idea what the starting five is, to be totally honest, because there's so many different combinations of how you're going to play it. I thought Will Hardy had some really interesting comments when I was talking to him yesterday in the media session. One of them was, I thought he said, you know, we want to give them enough structure to settle their mind and let them play. And then the other one he talked about was that they have to learn to get to know each other. So that leads me to believe that we're going to see maybe much more in the preseason combinations that he expects to see in the season. Now, you might be a little more gentle on a Mike Conley than you would be some other guys, but maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe you're going to tell Mike Conley, like, actually, I need you to play. Like, I need you to play 26, 28 preseason minutes so you can be around him. That, maybe not in the first game, but I suspect that the first, and I don't know, I haven't talked to any of the coaches, so I apologize if I'm wrong on this to them as much as to the listeners, that I suspect the first three quarters will be kind of what they envision as a possible regular rotation in both the next two games, and then that they'll be different, right? Like, hey, let's try it this way, this game, and this way, this. What Will said about the preseason to me yesterday was that he kind of sees this, hey, let's give them enough structure to ease their mind and let them play for the first two games. And then we have a week to tweak and adjust from there and then play our next two preseason games. And then we've got to get ready for the regular season. So I do think that leads me to believe that you're going to see a pretty heavy dose of you're not trying out 10 through 15 in preseason games 1 through 1 and 2, I don't think. I think you're probably for the first three quarters really working what you feel is your 1 through 11 or 12, and then maybe the fourth quarter is 10 through 20 getting some run and then see if anybody stands out. The other thing I would just say is I'm a big believer in this concept that, you know, you have to have 240 minutes a night. We talked about this last year. Like, do we have 240 minutes? And part of our downfall last year is I don't think we actually had 240 minutes. So do you have 240 minutes of quality basketball? We're a little short right now. And so there are minutes to be had. There's probably 25 to 35 minutes to really be had here by some of these guys. And I think that's pretty exciting. And it could be anywhere from Horton Tucker to Fontecchio to Balmero to, you know, Ubaji to Kessler. And there's just a lot of minutes available at different positions. Frankly, I think one of the most interesting parts of this camp is Jared Butler, Nikhil Alexander Walker got a lot of praise today. You know, I think all these guys, there's just open opportunity here for a chance to get time.
So Will Hardy, like, he's a new coach. I mean, he's a young guy. But he feels like, to me, he knows something that none of us know. I mean, it just seems like he has a clear vision, a clear direction. He doesn't seem like this is too big for him. What's your take on Will Hardy and his first year, his first stab at ever being a coach?
There's nothing. He doesn't look out of place at all. It doesn't feel out of place at all. I don't think the players feel like they like every player is getting asked this kind of question. Like, oh, what do you think of Will Hardy? Because it's the big mystery and none of us have anything to go off of. And they have very little to go off of. But you haven't heard any of them say, like, he's young, right? You haven't heard that from anyone. You haven't heard anyone say, well, you know, he's learning. You haven't heard that from anyone. It's what I haven't heard that's been more noticeable to me than what I have heard. I've heard a lot of, you know, stuff I'd expect out of players who don't really know yet, but there hasn't been any of that other little kind of stuff that you could hear. So I think you're 100% on this, that he just seems really comfortable in what he's doing. He's, you know, we throw around being bright a lot. I'm probably biased because I'm writing a massive check to the place every year. But, like, his educational background is pretty special. Where he went to college, particularly with the exposure I'm having to with my son there, is really special. And I think it's important. I think it, you know, I'm probably biased in that regard. But I do think that kind of stuff is really important. And I think the intellectual, thought-provoking, deep thought environment he spent his collegiate years in is one of the special places in the country, and I think it matters.
David Locke, voice of the Utah Jazz, joining us here on Unrivaled this week. You kind of get going on what this season is going to look like preseason-wise. I know that a lot of people made a lot today about Donovan Mitchell's comments about defense and whether or not, oh, no, now I'm ready to play defense. When you read that or when you saw it, did you think people maybe took it out of context or that they may have misunderstood? Because he's getting beat up quite badly about this the defense comment he made at Cleveland.
I mean, he said it last year, and he said it the year before, and he said it the year before that, and then none of the three did he do it, so I don't know what there is to say. Like, you can keep talking, but at some point you got to do it. I love the kid. Like, let's be honest. Like, I'm not trying to I'm sounding flippant. I'm just like, words are useless. Actions matter.
Yeah,
all aspects a lot.
Yeah, I've said it on our show before. You know, because you'd hear the press conferences after the games, and it's like, we know what to do. We know, and you'd list off all the corrections and everything. And for me, it was like, okay, you keep hearing this over and over, so you're either uncoachable, you know what to do and you're not doing it, or B, you can't do it. It's one of those two things, but when you start hearing it all the time, you're like, I don't know which one it is.
So I voiced this last year, actually, so I'll say it again. I got super frustrated with our press conferences last year because nobody said I.
Yeah, good point.
Like, every press conference was actually, you have to do it.
Right.
Start with you and then keep going. Because when you say we, you're actually pointing four fingers out.
That's interesting.
Like, I got super tired of that last year with our team. Every press conference was we, and it was, no, I didn't defend tonight. I took bad shots. I didn't move the ball. Not Donovan, all of them. But I got super tired of that last year. I voiced that last year while I was going on, so I'm not, like, this isn't some revisionist history. Yeah, like, I'm not, like, I said this last year, too. So, to your, like, I appreciate, like, what we interact. I'm just not a words guy. Like, that's just not who I am, frankly. So, I'm an actions person. So, a little bit of this, like, I've always kind of, I get what we do, and I love it in the post-game press conferences, but I also, like, dismiss 95% of what I hear in post-game press conferences.
Yeah, or preseason stuff
I'm looking for, right, like, to the point of, like, the question about Will Hardy, like, I'm listening, a lot of times it's what we don't hear what's most important, not what we do hear. Right? So we haven't said, oh, my gosh, Will's doing a great job. He's sure it's so funny because he's so young. Like, you haven't heard that.
Right.
That's noticeable to me that not a single player's referenced that.
Hmm.
That means he's in control.
I love it.
Yeah, are you here the, you know, we expect some growing pains and, you know, he's got some things to figure out. You don't ever hear that either.
Right. Yeah, we understand he's on the journey for the first time with us. Like, oh, like, yeah, like, oh.
I've heard this. No, he's a new coach.
Right. Like, no, I just, yeah, so, I mean, hey, Donovan said we're supposed to say, like, this is the same thing that I thought. I think I was on with DJ and PK and we talked about this. Like, I thought Donovan and Rudy were both outstanding in their kind of post-trade comments.
Yes.
Because they just handled it really, really well in a manner that just ended the conversation correctly. And I was really, really impressed. And frankly, like, someone asked Donovan about his defense. What's he going to say? Like, well, I didn't play any defense for Utah the last 3 years. I don't really plan to play it here because I score 25 a game and make the All-Star game, so why should I play defense? Like, what's, he's not going to say that. So he said what he's supposed to say. He's like, I'm going to play it this year, and he actually did it rather humbly while admitting that he didn't play it last year. So, like, we're killing him for it, but the fact of the matter is he said exactly what he should have. He actually said it humbly. He said it as he honestly. He didn't pretend like I play. He didn't, like, you know what would have been what we should be, like, losing it for? If Donovan had come out and said, I busted my ass defensively last year and the systems were bad. Like, that would have been newsworthy. Right? Or,
yeah.
Gave everything I had last year on defense. No, actually, you didn't. That was pretty clear. You didn't give all you had last year. But he didn't say that.
Right.
He said, I've got to get better at defense. You know, I need to play better defense than I have in years past. That's a pretty honest answer by an NBA player that's basically saying I wasn't good enough defensively the last few years.
David,
like,
Locke.
That's, let's admire him for that. Let's actually give him credit for being really truthful.
There you go. And it, you know, there's part of me too that goes, I don't even know if we should even ask David Locke this because this guy didn't play for this team. Like, there's one part where we can keep talking about what happened last year at this team, and you go, okay, moving on because we can't. It doesn't. What are people going to do? Be like, oh, now he's playing defense. How dare he? You know, we got to wait till the season starts.
I totally agree with you on this. Like, even during my daily podcast, there was something where I got some information the other day about one of our trades we made and why one of the trades came down the way it did. And then I was like, do I even talk? Like, should I bring this up? Like, or do we just move on? Like, it's, like, kind of over, right? Like, let's go. Like, and so we're in an interesting thing. I still really admire Donovan and think the world of Rudy the person and the game. So, you know, I'm going to be watched. I'm watching them. I'm going to watch them avidly, and I'll probably watch their games on delay. Like, I'm fascinated to watch how they play, and I love Bogey, and I'll watch Detroit for that. So, you know, I'm rooting for him and going to watch him all the time.
Yeah. David Locke, voice of the Utah Jazz. You can hear him, of course, at the very first preseason game of the Utah Jazz this weekend on Sunday right here on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone and on the Utah Jazz Radio Network. Locke, thanks for jamming with us. We appreciate it every week, man.
My pleasure. Thank you, guys. It should be a lot of fun. And I read this press release today that said I was doing my 14th year.
Oh, boy.
Did I get this old, this fat?
Yeah, I told Scott not to bring that up. So I'm glad you did because.
You know what you're gonna tell? You know what you're gonna tell me? You know what you're gonna tell me sometime?
What
is that? The biggest story I broke in my young career was about a quarterback signing a free agent deal out of Utah.
You know what? When I was 13 and I looked at that, I go, Scott, who's getting how much money? Gosh,
hey, it's time
it.
To go to break. Let's go. Come on.
All right, Locke. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week, man.
All All right, see ya.
All right, see ya. All right, we'll take the break here. We'll come back. We got our NFL roundup around the corner. Got our two-minute drill after that. So much more to go right here on the program. All around the corner right here, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.